Thank you very much, Pastor Fiani. Good evening, everyone. We are so glad that you are here with us tonight in this service. It is a wonderful thing to come together to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God is a good God, and we want to give him the praise and the glory that he deserves. Just want to thank you very much for those wonderful testimonies that speak to reality of who God is and the fact that he is still active in our lives. We give God the glory for it. And we are so happy that you have opened your doors to us tonight so that we can come inside your living room and we can have meeting and we can praise God together. I would like to exhort us tonight from the passage that was read by Sister Barbara, Jonah chapter 1. And we will be looking on the entire passage, the four books of Jonah, the four chapters of Jonah, rather. We'll be glancing into them tonight because they are so small. And we will try to get the message out that the Lord, I believe, have for us tonight. So I'm going to ask you to follow me in your Bibles as you have tonight, and let us look on the Word of God. Verse 2 of Jonah, chapter 1, is what caused us to be here in this meeting tonight. And it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." That is what the Lord said to Jonah. Arise and go to Nineveh. And the Lord described it as that great city. And they cry against it, for their wickedness before me. The Lord is saying that to Jonah. The topic tonight I would like to concentrate on is God is on a mission of mercy.
Amen.
God is on a mission of mercy. And when you consider the principle under which God operates, you realize that it is a principle that we should embrace. It is a principle that goes to the character of God. Because he said here in the past, in this verse, "For their wickedness is come up before me." In other words, the wickedness of this city has come before God in his high heaven. And as a result of that, God was compelled to do something about it because the wickedness is so great. Now, where have we seen this before? Where have we seen this trend of thought before in the scriptures of God? First of all, we've seen it in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, when it says, "And God saw the wickedness of men." God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually.
Oh, yeah.
That we saw in Genesis 6. And you know what happened after that. Noah built an ark for 120 years he was building. And what was he doing during that time? He was warning the people. He was warning the people of pending judgment. God is not going to destroy a city, a country, a society without first giving adequate warning. And here is where we have seen where the wickedness of people came up before God. And God was moved to do something in the case of Noah. But where else did we see this happen? Genesis 18, verse 20-21. Here's what it says. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will now go down. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Again, the cry of wickedness from a city has come up before God, and God was moved to do something about it in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham decided that he was going to intercede to God on behalf of the city. And from 50 to 10, Abraham asked God if he would spare the city if he finds 50 people who are believers. And God said, no. Abraham said, what about 45? God said, no. He said, what about 40? God said, I will not destroy if I find 40. Abraham said, what about 30? God said, no, will I destroy for 30. Abraham said, what about 20? Will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if you find 20 believers there? God said, no, I will not destroy it if I find 20 in there. Abraham pleaded just one last time and said, Lord, if you find 10 people there, will you destroy the city, which was populated just under 500,000? Imagine that. Under 500,000, God could not find 10 believers. Think about that. He could not find 10 believers to spare the city. The cry of wickedness has come up before him. In Genesis 6 and in Genesis 18. And we have the same cry tonight that comes up before God in Jonah chapter 1. The wickedness, God said, has come up before me as a result of God. That God had to dispatch his servant to Nineveh to cry against it. But God is on a mission of mercy. God is on a mission of mercy right now here in America. God is on a mission of mercy in many other countries right now. A mission of mercy. A mission of warning. A mission to tell others of an impending judgment that is about to come up on the land. And we are called upon to go out and proclaim the gospel of God so that there might be repentance. And here is Jonah, who was chosen by God for this mission. And while we are not told here in this verse the details of the wickedness that has come up to God in heaven from Nineveh, yet Nahum, two books beyond Jonah here, Nahum chapter 3, sort of give us an indication as to what those wickedness were. We discover that Nahum freed his quiet Nineveh as the blood city. The blood city. In there, we have wickedness of all different types that come up before God. Prostitution was rampant in Nineveh. Homosexuality was rampant in Nineveh. Murder was rampant in Nineveh. Abortion was rampant in Nineveh. All these tough crimes were rampant in Nineveh. Killing was commonplace in Nineveh. And what even make it worse is the type of capital punishment that they seem to have. The type of which they would skin a prisoner and take the skin of that prisoner, place it in the public square so that anybody pass and look at it, it will act as a deterrent for them to commit the said crime. Murder and all the other things, witchcraft, idol worship, all these things were prominent in Nineveh, which God described as that great city. Great it was, but it was loaded with sin. That reminds me of a place that we know. That reminds me of America. That reminds me of Jamaica. That reminds me of many other places. Jamaica, which is in the Guinness Book of Record, to have more churches per square mile than any other country in the world, is experiencing a level of violence that is only God himself is going to change it. America, we have heard over and again in the news the different things that are happening here. A little more, I will point out something to verify what I'm saying. America, the wickedness that are taking place between these walls, between these borders, is something that is frightening. And it is going up before God. It has got, they are going up before God tonight. And somebody needs to bawl out. Somebody needs to cry out to God. Somebody needs to cry out to the country about the wickedness of the land. But at the same time, the solution, it's going to come from a God of mercy. A God who shows mercy. God has commissioned Jonah that he should go and speak against Nineveh. But Jonah, as a servant of God, has his own bias. And sometimes we wonder if this can really happen. If a servant of God can have bias in his heart. And I said to you 1,000 times, yes. Because Jonah believed that these Gentiles, the Ninevites, these Gentiles deserve to die, and only the tribe of the Jew, need to be saved. That is the perception that he had. The Gentiles must die. God should not show mercy to them. As a result of that, when God called him, he took a ship in the opposite direction. When I read the news, I found out that right now, it is stated that 1,500 pastors are leaving the ministry every month. 1,500 pastors are going in the wrong direction every month. Every month. Jonah decided to go in the opposite direction from where God wants him to be. Because God is on a mission of mercy. And he did not want to see mercy meted out to a people who were wicked. So he went in the opposite direction. All of us here tonight who are listening, we have come face to face with a God who is a God of justice,
yes.
A God who is a God of mercy,
amen.
A God who is a God of compassion.
Yeah.
And we feel that we are natural men, natural women. We do as we like, yet still, the God who sees everything, knows our heart, knows what we are thinking, and knows everything about us. God said to Jonah, go into Nineveh and cry against it. Because the wickedness has come up before me. Sin is a reproach to any people. And God hates sin. Listen to what God said here in Psalms. In Psalms, Psalms 11. Psalms 11 verse 5. Listen to what the psalmist said. The Lord tried the righteous. Listen to that again. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that love violence is soul hated. Psalms 11 verse 5. The Lord hates violence. The Lord hates violence, regardless of where it is. The Lord hates violence. If it is in your community, the Lord hates violence. If it is in my community, the Lord hates violence. If it is in this country, another country, the Lord hates violence. And he said to Jonah, the wickedness has come up before me. But God is on what? God is on a mercy trip. God is preparing to show mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we're giving the praise. And tonight, God's mission here, God's mission as we speak is one of mercy. You and I are open before God, and he has demonstrated his mercy in our lives so many times. And for that, we are extremely grateful as a people of God to continue to receive the mercies of God. Songwriter declared, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. It was a Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We owe the mercy that we receive to the finished work. still on a mercy mission, even here in America, which we believe the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness of Nineveh, the wickedness of the world that was destroyed, still prevail in this country. But God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
And so let us look on three eras of mercy that we have seen that God has displayed within this Jonah experience. Three eras of mercy that we are seeing in these passages where God has shown it, and God is quite deliberate in his approach as he shows it. Nothing by accident. It is deliberate and God's part. First thing that we have seen here through these passages is to be found in Jonah chapter 2. Now let us look on Jonah chapter 1 for the first one. Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 5. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to what it says, church. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God. Listen to that, saints. The mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was down deep in the side of the ship, and he lay there and was fast asleep. The thought in this verse here is that every man cried to his own God. Listen to that. Now, we are not told how many people, how many mariners were on this ship. But regardless of the amount, it is indicating that every man served a different God. Every man, and it was not Jonah's God. Every man served a different God. As I said, I don't know how much the Bible is silent on the amount of mariners were here, that are here. But every man called upon their God, with the hope that their God would do something to save their lives because of the wave that came up on the sea. God has created that wave. And it tossed the ship to and fro. And everyone feel that death was very near to them. And even in that mixed up in that mayhem, every man start bawling out to their God. Make a note of that, church. In this country, we find that atheism, agnosticism, and all different types of ism are creeping in to the Christian community and to the society in general. And there is a drift from the true and living God, leaning unto God that has not been tested and proven. The Marines are here. They had individual gods. Every man have a different God. They were sailing along. But Jonah, the servant of God, he was going in the wrong direction, but he has landed on the right ship. He has landed for the purpose of God. He has landed on the right ship. listen on here. Listen to what happened in from 14 to 16. Listen to what happened from 14 to 16, church. In Jonah chapter 1. Wherefore, they cry unto... We're talking about now the mariners. Wherefore, they cry unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee. Let us not perish. And this is done after Jonah identifies himself. Let us see how he identifies himself, and then I come back to that reading. Verse 9 of Jonah chapter 1. Here is what it says. And he, meaning Jonah, said unto them, I am an Hebrew. Hallelujah. I am an Hebrew, means a child of God. I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Hear how he's going to qualify which God he's talking about now. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Jonah identified himself and gave his testimony. Tonight being testimony night. Jonah identified which God he is serving, and the ability of that God, and the works of that God. And it drives home in their heart with true conviction as to who this God is. He is the Almighty God that makes the sea that they are on and on the dry land.
Amen.
And the result of that testimony, listen to what they said here in 14. Wherefore, they cry unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not up on us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleaseth thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. This is what I would like you to get here, which is the first act of mercy that God has shown here. Verse 16 says, then the men, that is the mariners, who in chapter 5 said every man should call unto their own God. 16, then the men fear the Lord exceedingly and offer sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Hallelujah. The man was going in the wrong direction, but he landed on the right ship. A ship in which he brought a testimony of the true and living God. And all the mariners' lives were changed for the better because they have seen and experienced the glory and the wonder of the true and living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God on a mission of mercy changed the lives of these people when they discover and when they look and see what was happening. They realize that their God is not the God, but the God that Jonah served. He is the true and living God. God shows up there in the boat with an act of mercy.
Yeah.
Change lives. Tonight I'm sure that the same God is watching us tonight. The same God is looking at us tonight. The same God is listening to us tonight. And he is still on a mission of mercy. Then we see in Jonah chapter 2, And let us look on verse 4. Jonah chapter 2, verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will look again towards that holy temple. Jonah in the middle of the whale's belly as they threw him overboard. God prepared. The word says God prepared a whale to swallow him. And while he was in that belly of the beast, God spoke to him and he prayed to God. And he declared to God, Lord, I will look again towards thy holy temple. I will look again towards thy temple. And he experienced the discomfort in a place where he did not expect to be. But God was there with him. God was listening to him. And he prayed to God with sincerity out of the belly of the whales. And what God did, God allowed him to continue to speak. Verse 7, when my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. That is Jonah praying to the Lord. They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, declared Jonah. I will pay that I avowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That is a prayer the brother prayed in the fish belly, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him, the word says. And what the Lord did after that, verse 10 in chapter 2, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. Another act of mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy. God has shown his servant mercy, despite the fact that you went the wrong way. But I have the ability to bring you to the destination that I want you to perform. And he showed Jonah mercy as the fish vomited out his servant. And the word was careful on dry land. Bless the Lord. You know, it is interesting. It is interesting what Jesus have to say here on the whole Jonah issue. It's interesting what the Lord had. The fish vomits Jonah out on dry land. But listen to what Jesus have to say in regards to this. St. Luke chapter 11, 29 to 32. St. Luke chapter 11, 29 to 32. And when the people were gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Now, this is what I said to you earlier, that for all that wickedness that the Lord came down and spoke to Jonah about, and what he had said in regard to Abraham in regard to Sodom, and why he destroyed the world then in Genesis chapter 6. Listen to what the Lord is saying here, years after the Jonah experience. This is the Lord speaking. This is an evil generation. That is what the Lord said. This is an evil generation. seek sign, and there shall be, and there shall no sign be given, but that sign of Jonah the prophet. Verse 30, for as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repent of the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Wow! The Lord speaking. So the Lord is saying, look, you are asking for a sign as to the end time, when the end is going to come. But I want to tell you, there will not be a sign other than what is given to Nineveh. What was given to Nineveh? Jonah was that sign. The preaching of the gospel was the sign that came up on Nineveh. But they need to recognize that sign and do something about their wickedness. And then Jesus said, greater than Jonah is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater than Jonah is here. And then the Lord went on to say, the Queen of the South came to Solomon to listen to him, and she repented because of what she saw and what she heard. And Jesus said, greater than Solomon is here in this generation. And then the Lord make it clear in another place where he discovered, where he said, in fact, the last verse here tells us speak to what we're saying. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repent at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, the greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is saying, look, I am greater than Jonah. I can preach greater message than Jonah. And yet the people repent because of the preaching of Jonah. But why is it that they're not repenting in that volume? When I, who is greater than Jonah, is preaching, and greater than Jonah is here. The same goes for the wisdom of Solomon. I am wiser than Solomon. And there were many who repented because they discovered the wisdom of Solomon. Why is it that that level of repentance is not seen among me? Jesus declared. And I'm saying to the church tonight that when Jesus made those statements, Jesus was speaking true to what was happening around him. And tonight things have gotten worse. Things have gotten worse here in America, in Jamaica, in other places. And the preaching of greater than Jonah is going on. Jesus anointed his servants with the Holy Ghost to minister his word. And there are those who are not taking heed. So the word tells us that the fish vomit Jonah on dry land. And I want to tell you this. It is not all your dress that people that is going to cause people to listen to you. It is not what you look like, but it is the word of God coming from inside of you. Hallelujah. It's the anointing of God upon your life. It is the anointing. Here is this man coming out of the fish belly, full of slime, fly following him, look like a wet rug. And God said, go minister my word to the people, because this is an act of mercy. And Jonah, we are told from the scripture, in that condition, in that state, start walking. Hallelujah. Start proclaiming. Hallelujah. Start bawling out. Hallelujah. To the people.
Yes.
And I believe that there's a time that we need to bawl out is now as preachers. Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 18 declares that the shepherds are asleep. The shepherds are asleep. The servants of God throughout the land and breadth of this country seemingly asleep. The same goes for Jamaica. When God said we are to arise and bawl out on the society for them to repent. We are told that Jonah went through 3 days' journey to the city and he proclaimed the same word. 40 days and yet Nineveh shall be destroyed. And the news came to king's house, we are told. And the king issued a decree that goes right through the city, entire city, that no man should eat anything. No beast should eat anything. They should be covered up in sackcloth and ashes. And repent before God. Let God will change his mind from destroying the place. And we are told here in verse 10 of chapter 3. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did not. God has shown mercy as a result of Jonah's preaching. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 4 tells us, Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And that is a message that he took to that great city who God said, the wickedness has come up before me. And God repents from punishing the people. And God, as a result of that, shows mercy to a people who did not deserve it. I wonder tonight, what is it that is holding back God from meting out punishment to a country that is experiencing the same thing as Nineveh did? What is it that is holding back God? What era is his mercy concentrated? I think we should look on the last verse in chapter 4. God said to Job, God said to Jonah here. Listen to what he said to Jonah. and should not I spear Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God said that to Jonah. But we have to come back to the question that Abraham asked God when he was going into Sodom. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's a question that was asked God. And that's why God said, if I find 10, look, I am not going to level the place. And Abraham was coming from 50 people. And when we look and see America, Jamaica, and other countries, we discover the Christians that are in these countries, God is showing mercy to the others because of them. The Christians that are in this country, despite the wickedness, the Christians that are in this country, God is holding back his wrath because of the believers. And God is showing mercy to those who are outside of the church, because he hates evil. God said there's 120,000 who does not know their right hand from their left hand. And for that, I am showing mercy. And this might not necessarily mean just young children. It can mean adults too, who don't know anything about the true and living God. Cannot make a decision because they have never heard about him. But 120,000 people God has pointed out to Jonah. He has seen them who don't know the right hand from the left hand. And as a result of that, he shows mercy on them. I'm questioning tonight. Are you in the church or are you out of the church? The Marines, they made a vow to the true and living God. Jonah made a vow to the true and living God from out of the fish belly. Here are these people, put on sackcloth and ashes, refuse to eat food because they are repenting before God as a result of listening to his servant minister God's word. And they believe that judgment would come if they didn't do something. I am asking you right now. I'm asking you, I don't know if you are here for the first time. I'm asking you, have you made a vow to the Lord to serve him? Like the Marine did, Jonah decided that he will look again. I have looked away from your temple, but now I am going to look again. Those of you who was once walking with the Lord, and you have saw, will you look again towards his temple? Will you look again towards his temple? Those here who have never heard and understand the Lord as a result of the preaching of Jonah, they too decide to repent, including King's House. Oh my God, how much King's House here need to repent before God. How much this King's House need to repent before God. The entire country need to fall down before the true and living God and repent. But the preachers need to bow out before them. Bow out in the name of the Lord. And tell them that there's a judgment coming. And there needs to be repentance. And I'm so glad tonight that God operates on principle. And all these preaching are preaching that are going before to exercise the mercies of God toward the people. That you will make a change before it is too late and accept the true and living God. But the bias continues. When one believes that Jonah had fully learned his lesson, there was a residue of bias still left in him. Listen to what happened here in verse 4. In chapter 4, 2, chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah continued to pray. As he finished minister to the people, he went over against the city. And he prayed. Listen to this prayer here, saints. Verse 2 of chapter 4. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah, prayer to the Lord. Lord, I know who you are. I knew from you instructing me to go into Nineveh that you are going to really show mercy to these wicked people. I knew because you are a God of mercy. You are a gracious God. That is what he said to the Lord. Jonah still expects judgment to come upon the people. But God was on a mission of mercy. Tonight, God is on the same mission of mercy. And somebody here listening to the preaching of God's servant, somebody here need to look again to the temple of the Lord. Somebody here need to make a vow unto the Lord. Somebody here need to repent as to yield to the calling and accept the mercy of the God that we serve, the true and living God. Jonah did his part, even though reluctant. God did his part. The people of Nineveh did their part. The marine, they did their part. What are you doing tonight? What are you doing tonight? What are you doing tonight? God said there are 120,000 who does not know their right hand from their left. When I read this and I remember what Nahum said, that Nineveh is a city of blood. I remember the abortion issue that is in this country. We are told from the stats that almost 600,000 babies are being murdered every year here in America. God said, I am showing mercy because of those who don't know their right hand from their left hand. The babies have no control over their environment. But we do. And not only those who commit those abortions, but those who are in league with it. These are some of the things that was taking place in Nineveh. And that's why wickedness has come up before God, I believe, for this country and other countries. But because of the believers, Abraham said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God said, no. Because of the believers, here God is showing mercy. God is an omission of mercy. And people need to take opportunity of this call and make a change in their lives. It is not so much whether or not you respond, no. But it's the fact that God has deposited a word in your heart that will not leave. This is how the Holy Spirit operates. That word will not leave your heart. You might not act upon it, but it will not leave your heart. Because God wanted you to hear that he is on a mission of mercy to save you. And my encouragement to you is that you will accept his mission of mercy. Tonight, the Apostolic Church in America has deliberately put into place this type of meeting where we reach out in a very, very specific way to those who have not yet come into the kingdom. Are those who were in and for some reason are not walking with the Lord. That you will come into the fold of God as you accept his mercy. He is on a mercy mission tonight, seeking you to come on board and be saved. I'm asking you, based on what we have read here in Jonah, and we have seen the three years that the Lord has shown mercy, which he could easily do without. Will you consider the Lord tonight and make your vow to serve him as the mariners did, as Jonah decided to look again to his holy temple, and as the Ninevites did after Jonah cries out unto them? You're here. You have listened. You have heard. May the Lord bless you as you make that most important decision. Shall we pray? Father, we just bless your name tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you have shown mercy in every walk, in every way. We thank you that you have gone to the length to redeem those who are outside of you. We thank you, Lord God, that you are not only calling the Jews, but you have called the Gentiles too.
Yes, Lord.
You have broken down that middle wall, a partition between us, where we can look to you and we can cry, Abba, Father. You are our daddy. You are our hiding place. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. Thank you for sending mercy so that, Lord God, our sins, which were higher than the mountain, can be washed away because you have shown mercy to us. We bless your name and we pray that you will continue to be our source of strength as we go forward. For those who have not yet committed their lives to you, Lord, and those who are here listening to your word, Father, we pray that you will touch their heart so that there will be a change and there will be a commitment and there will be an experience that they have from you which will cause them to be children of God as we move forward. Bless your people tonight. Bless every one of us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Fiani. Bless the Lord.
Yes. Again, we have heard the preaching of the gospel of Christ. It's important, friends, you must be born again. But then we must repent of our sins because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is interested in all nations of the world. He is interested in you right now, that is in your room or in your car or on the wayside. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. But then, as our pastor just pointed out, friends, the God that we serve is a God of love, a God of grace, and lastly, a God of mercy. Mercy. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. His mercy endureth to all generations. Tonight, friends, mercy is there for you. God's love is there for you and his grace. Would you come to him and find peace and rest to your troubled soul? Would you come? Would you surrender your heart to the Lord? God will have mercy upon you and save you and give you everlasting life. If you but only accept him now, accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood and paid a price for sin, because the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you come to him, young man, young woman, middle-aged men and women, that mother, that father, that wife, that husband,